The Democratic primary for president has been whittled down to two major candidates, Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden. But an idea from one former candidate, Andrew Yang, is still having reverberations.
My flagship proposal is a freedom dividend of $1,000 a month for every American adult starting at age 18. And this is a renaming of something called universal basic income.
Yang may be out, but universal basic income seems to be having a moment, especially in Philadelphia.
I think the mayor's office seems like they're very excited about trying this.
Why is Philadelphia proposing a basic income? And could it work? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Jake Bloomgard is a reporter for WHYY's Plan Philly. Jake, tell me about this plan that Philadelphia officials unveiled last week.
So last week, council unveiled this plan to try to pull 100,000 Philadelphians out of poverty in the next few years. There was a line in it that caught a lot of people's eyes, and it was something called the Philadelphia Basic Income. It seemed to signal that the city council, which is kind of a small C conservative body often and doesn't, you know, kind of champion a lot of bold new ideas, might be willing to support a pretty radical notion, which is giving people money with no strings attached. And then on Thursday, during Mayor Kenney's annual budget address, the mayor made mention of just such a plan.
This new program will stabilize households living in poverty. Its goal is to prevent eviction and the negative effects of displacement by filling the gap between what people can afford to pay and the cost of rent.
So what is basic income? What are the details of this idea?
The concept that I think a lot of people are kind of familiar with is called the universal basic income, which is basically that everybody in a particular jurisdiction will get a certain amount of money from the government every month that they can spend any old way they please. There's a concept like this in Alaska that's been running since the early 80s, where everybody in the state gets a lump sum, a couple thousand dollars, once a year. Now, this has also been talked about at the national level by Andrew Yang, RIP.
Right. Former presidential candidate.
Presidential candidate. You know, kind of the central part of his policy platform was giving every American $1,000 a month. Now, Philly is not planning a universal basic income. We should be very clear about that. This concept that council and the mayor are talking about will be particularly aimed to low-income people. And in particular, it's going to go to people who are so poor that they are having trouble paying their rent every month.
And is it just for rent?
So it's kind of part of a larger program that Mayor Kenney's office is planning to experiment with, where they're going to create two voucher programs. On the one hand, there's going to be a group of people who get a voucher. It's going to basically act like the Section 8 voucher program does at the federal level, which is that it can only be spent on rent. It is going to your landlord. That's what it's there for. The other group of people are just going to get a certain amount of money, $400 to $600 a month, that can be spent on anything. And the city will track it. They'll basically be given a cash card. The idea being that, you know, maybe these low-income families will have enough money for rent that month, but then at the end of the month, well, maybe they don't have enough money for food anymore. And so the idea being that these families know what their budgetary needs are more than local policymakers do. So this experiment will basically see what happens when people are given cash aid and are allowed to spend it however they want.
So there would be 500 people getting this money, no strings attached. Who's going to pay for it? Does it come out of taxpayer dollars?
Yeah. So again, I should say right off the top, there are a lot of details that still need to be hashed out. But for right now, this is something that the mayor's office really wants to do, and they kind of have a policy plan. The budgetary allocation that the mayor is proposing for the overall program, this is both for the vouchers that only go to the landlords and then the cash aid that can be spent. However, it's going to be $6 million this year. We don't exactly know how people are going to be picked to be a part of it yet, but I think the mayor's office seems like they're very excited about trying this.
So this seems like a pretty radical idea. Why is Philadelphia talking about doing this?
The reason Philly is trying it is basically because as council outlined last week, they really do want to figure out ways to tackle this seemingly intractable poverty problem mm-hmm. that Philadelphia has. When you kind of look at the like long sweep of American welfare policy, it has been a pretty unpopular idea to just give people money. You know, we did have a number of kind of cash aid programs, but both at the state and the federal level, Republicans in particular, although not only Republicans, have done a pretty thorough job of either eviscerating the funding for those programs or eliminating them entirely. And now we have a lot of welfare programs where policymakers kind of decide how people can spend their money, like food stamps or LIHEAP, which can only be spent on fuel costs. And there's also a big push, especially in conservative circles, to get even narrower than that, to be like, this is what you can spend your food stamps on. Like, you can't spend it on candy or soda or like whatever. So there is a strong trend in American political and intellectual thought to like kind of limit how people can spend the assistance they get from the state. And this is cutting against that.
Through this program, we will test innovative and cost-effective practices to housing stability and poverty alleviation, including through a cash transfer pilot program.
You know, as everyone kind of repeats ad nauseum in City Hall, we are the poorest city of over a million people in America. Roughly a fourth of the city lives in poverty. And this experiment is basically one of the ways that city policymakers are trying to see how best to help poor renters in particular. And so they're going to measure life outcomes and just like how the money is spent and how people do in the two separate programs. And then based on which one of them helps people more, they can then scale it up and try to expand it to more than the 500 people who are going to be in this experiment.
Has this ever been tried anywhere else in the United States?
I mean, yeah. So the universal basic income I described in Alaska earlier is kind of the very big example. But the smaller example where it's principally targeted to poor people, there is a really interesting experiment going on right now in Stockton, California. That is kind of like the principal thing that people point to these days in the United States.
Thank you, Jake.
Yeah, no problem.
Jake Blumgart is a reporter for WHYY's Plan Philly. When we come back, what we've learned so far from that experiment in Stockton.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. Last week, Mayor Jim Kenney announced the Philadelphia Basic Income, an experiment where the city will give no-strings-attached cash to 500 people who are having trouble paying their rent. Such an experiment has only been tried once in the United States, in Stockton, California.
Folks are probably familiar with the fact that San Francisco, Oakland is an incredibly expensive place to live, and Stockton's about an hour and a half east of there. So they experienced like the reverberations of the housing crisis and that crunch in housing, but not the full effect. It's a city that really represents the diversity of America, and it really represents a lot of the trends that other places are experiencing.
That's Amy Castro-Baker. She researches economic mobility and housing here at the University of Pennsylvania. She's also head of a study called SEED, the Stockton Economic Empowerment Demonstration. Tell me about the basic income experiment you've been studying in Stockton, California.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically what we're doing is we're giving $500 a month, no strings attached, for 18 months to 125 randomly selected families. So those households came from census tracts that were at or below the median income of Stockton, which is $46,000 a year.
Why run this study? What's the ultimate goal?
Oh, good question. There's a lot of goals, really. I mean, the biggest one is to see, you know, there's a lot of buzz about UBI right now, tons of buzz. It's sort of having its moment in the sun. It's not a new idea. It's been around since Thomas Paine. It was the subject of Dr. King's last book.
Now, one of the answers, it seems to me, is a guaranteed annual income, a guaranteed minimum income for all people and for all families of our country.
But for whatever reason, it is bubbling up in the policy space right now. Some of that has to do with the recent, you know, DNC candidates, but a lot of it has to do with the recession. So one of the things that we're really interested in this project is to see, you know, first, if we disrupt income volatility, do we see better health and well-being outcomes among folks who have really been locked out of the economy? But then two, from an implementation perspective, what we're really interested in is figuring out who does guaranteed income work for and how. So, you know, if we're going to scale this up and scale it out across a whole city, county, state, something to that effect, we need to figure out first how you would actually implement this, you know, at scale. And that starts first with doing a pilot, which is what we're doing.
Give me some examples of things that people are spending this money on.
One of the things that's unique about this experiment is that we are releasing two things in real time. One, story, which are the real experiences of people who are receiving the money, and then two, how the money is spent. So if you go to our dashboard, you can see, you know, stories from a range of different people who are really articulating how the $500 is impacting them, how it's changing their household finances, and how it's impacting their well-being and their family life. You can see in the aggregate that about 40% of the money each month is spent on food, which is not surprising to us. And then in addition to, you know, the basics like utilities, we're also seeing people spend the money in ways that carry a lot of meaning and dignity in the economy. So for instance, we had one person who, when we asked them how they spent the $500, they said they were able to buy their daughter a prom dress. So for that one day, that kid was able to fit in. And what that means to a parent in terms of dignity as to how they show up for their child and what that adolescent feels like in high school is pretty important. It's almost immeasurable.
There was, in that pie chart of how these how this money was spent, there was a small slice that said donations, which I thought was kind of cool, that people, if they had money for everything they needed, they often donated some of it.
Yeah, well, counterintuitively, some of these folks still don't have all that they needed. And one of the things that we've learned so far with the Stockton experiment is how much people are engaging in what are called pooling behaviors. So some of that donation piece you're seeing is tithing, going to churches and nonprofits. But the other thing that we're seeing that's really exciting is the ways in which people are using the $500 to alleviate financial strain elsewhere in their families. So being able to support aging parents with better quality food, being able to help out siblings and family members with rent, and with clothing. So a real common refrain we heard, for instance, last fall, were people being able to use the $500 to get school supplies for nephews, nieces, cousins. And again, it speaks to the ways in which people live in families. They live in networks. They live in neighborhoods. When in reality, we design our policies as though everyone lives in isolation. Mm. And what we're seeing in Stockton is the exact opposite, that people leverage this money across lots of households. And one of the things that we know from decades of social science and behavioral economics is that the people who budget best are people who live at or below the poverty line. If you are living paycheck to paycheck, you know to the day, to the week, to the hour sometimes when your money is going to run out. Ergo, those folks stretch that money. And what we're seeing with the guaranteed income experiment that we're running and also in some other pilots is that people are doing the same thing with the $500.
So what do you think about Philadelphia as a candidate for an experiment like this?
Oh, it's really exciting, frankly. You know, obviously I'm biased because, you know, I'm native to Philadelphia. But it's exciting because we haven't seen any of these pilots yet in a major city in the Northeast in this type of way. And the other thing is that we're really just getting started in the UBI space. So two of the drivers behind this kind of rush towards experiments are, one, income volatility and the threat of automation, but then, two, the housing crisis, right? So it's not just the threat of automation that's driving poverty. It's also the lack of affordable housing. And Philadelphia is a good place to test that idea and see how would potentially some type of, you know, material support, cash transfer, something to that effect work. We have a lot of housing stock. We have a lot of poverty. We're building all these luxury units. I mean, if you're from Philadelphia, you know, you can't turn around and not see some sort of something going up in the sky everywhere. There's cranes all over the place. But by the same token, we are losing our affordable housing every single year. And we, on a neighborhood level, have not recovered from the recession. So thinking about that here in Philadelphia is pretty exciting.
Amy, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Amy Castro-Baker is a professor at the University of Pennsylvania who's studying a basic income project in Stockton, California. Her study will run until July 2020. She'll have more data, including things like the impact basic income had on health and debt, by the end of the year. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Buffy Gorilla, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari. Our intern is Kelly Brennan. Find me on Twitter at Shai Ben Yaakov. See you tomorrow.